I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
We went over it like three times before. Susanna Hallinan is the one and only happyologist. She's a happiness coach and a writer specialized in using the science of positive psychology to help people, teams, and organizations to be their happiest, best performing selves. She's a published researcher, a TEDx speaker, an online columnist for numerous publications. I actually found her through Psychology Today. And she's also the author of Screw Finding Your Passion. It's Within You. Let's Unlock It. And she inspires and educates her loyal following through her blog at happyologist.co.uk. Welcome to the show, Susanna.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Thank you for being with us. So I want to talk about your book today, and Chris really wants to know about what a happyologist is.
What's a happyologist?
So happyologist is basically the term that I came up with in terms of focusing my coaching, training, everything that I do around helping you become a happier you. So rather than being just a psychologist or a positive psychologist, because I specialized in basically the science of happiness and human performance, I kind of came up with the happyologist term. It's just something unique to basically describe the work I do.
Awesome.
Not something you hear every day. Yeah.
So Susanna, pardon?
I said the one and only. That's why.
The one and only.
Yeah, the one and only.
Maybe she'll start coaching other people to become happyologists, but we'll talk about that later. So you were working in the corporate world and quite successful at that. And then you went back to school and got your master's in positive psychology. So can you tell us the story about how that came about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So my kind of undergraduate degree, so at university, originally I just did kind of a normal business management degree with marketing. Now I'd always loved psychology back in high school already, but I didn't want to pursue it full time at university level because I thought, oh, well, it's quite focused. It's focused a lot on quite negative in terms of like focusing on mental illnesses and things like that, trauma. And that wasn't really the sphere that I was curious about. So I went into the corporate world, just got like a normal job doing marketing, communications, things like that. In that way, still had a little bit of flair in the human psychology field in terms of learning to market products to people. But quickly, while I was there, I realized it wasn't really the right place for me for many reasons. One, I really missed the kind of human interaction, and I really wanted more meaningful work to do, basically. And in my second year in the corporate world, basically, we got a chance to have this career coach because I was in this graduate training scheme, basically. And with that career coach, we could basically discuss anything we wanted to. So I discussed, well, what is it that I actually want to do? And around that same time, I'd read this amazing book called The Happiness Advantage by Sean Aker, which is all about positive psychology. And when I basically read that book and discovered it, I was like, okay, this is the type of psychology I want to get into. You know, this is what I really want to do. And in that careers coaching session, my coach really challenged me to think about, okay, what is it that's meaningful to you? You know, what kind of impact do you want to have? You know, what's your dream ideal scenario? And I just kept trying to find excuses. Well, no, I possibly couldn't work in positive psychology. And no, I possibly couldn't retain myself. And until he basically probed me. And I realized, well, why can't I do that? So it's like in that one really intense session, we just kind of overcame a lot of my limiting beliefs. Everything that I kind of knew about the corporate world, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. It's just not for me. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be for me. There are lots of other paths I can take. And from that coaching session onwards, then I started to basically take all these little steps to test the waters. The session itself made me realize that I wanted to do what he did for me in terms of helped me figure out what I actually wanted, helped me figure out my direction, you know, find my sense of meaning and purpose. So then I did like an intro to coaching weekend. I did an intro to positive psychology, started reading all the books. I set up Happyologist just as a blog, just to write my experiences to start with. And then I realized, wow, okay, with every step, I felt more confident that this is exactly what I had to be doing. So then I basically took even bigger steps. And then I completed the coaching accreditation. And then I basically decided to apply for the master's in science of applied positive psychology, because I realized, okay, this is really the field I want to specialize in. When I coach individuals, either one-to-one or during these training workshops, I want to make sure that I'm talking about something that's really grounded in science. And that's why I decided to do the master's in positive psychology. And yeah, basically 2 weeks after I left the corporate world, I went straight into the master's full time. And alongside my master's, I started to build up my business. And then by the time I finished my master's, it was a kind of 1 year intensive route. Then I was ready to be full-time happyologist. And that's what I've been doing for a couple of years now.
Cool. Thank you, Susanna. Well, reading your book, and maybe you can show everyone your book.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've got it here.
Yay. I really love the cover. So bright and happy. It seems like there are a lot of different ways to define passion as you're talking about it in your book. So what does passion mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was basically this, my own journey of going through these different paths, that I realized that I wanted to really think about what is passion, you know, how do you actually define it? So when I did my master's studies, we had to do a major research piece with it. And that's when I was like, okay, yeah, exactly, trying to answer that question, what is passion? And through my research, I was quite surprised by what I found, because I was expecting to have this notion of passion is just like this strong love and thing that you feel for one activity that you just want to kind of build your whole life around. But what I actually realized interviewing all my participants was that passion is just a form of positive energy that basically sits deep inside each and every one of us. And we all have the power to bring it out whenever we want. So we don't need to tie it to one activity or one thing, but actually that we can bring it out whenever we want. So I realized it's not really something that needs to be tied to an activity, because that positive passion energy is already like basically deep inside every one of us.
And would you say that was something that was pulled out of you by that coach when you were talking about coming up with how you became a happyologist?
I think there are definitely elements of it. So it was kind of like my journey to becoming a happyologist was also a little bit of that unlocking of my passion in itself. And then when I kind of put my, you know, research goggles on in a way and started to really explore passion deeper, then I started to see the pattern afterwards, especially after I'd done the research, you know, come up with the model, the theory. But then I was like, wow, this is kind of exactly what I went through myself. And that's when I started to see that connection. So yeah, definitely.
Almost like discovering your purpose, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and because purpose is one of those angles that helps also bring out that passion within you. Because once you start to create these meaningful connections with your life, that positive passion energy naturally starts to basically surface in you.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I just want to remind everyone that you are listening to or watching Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And you could be watching this on YouTube, or you might be listening on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at CITR.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And right now we are speaking with the one and only happyologist on the whole planet, Susanna Hallinen?
Hallinen. I have it right at some point.
I have name anxiety. I'm always worried I'll get it wrong. I'm glad I got it right. So we are talking about her experience and her book, which is called Screw Finding Your Passion. It's within you. Let's unlock it. And Susanna, I think that's what happens for so many of us, is that we're told that if we want to have a great life, we should find out what our passion is. And it can be difficult for people who have lots of interests and lots of talents to focus on something. So how often does, I mean, what do you tell your clients when they come to you and they're like, well, I'm great at everything and I never have any focus?
Yeah, no, it is. It's a huge challenge. And I think it's kind of a message that keeps coming across everywhere in society in terms of, yeah, you should go and find one passion. You should just follow it. And that's what you got to do. And then so many people are left in that limbo thinking, well, what if I don't know what that one passion is? Or like you said, what if I feel like I have many passions or many things that interest me? And then people kind of get stuck in this paralysis and they feel like they can't move, take any step forward because they're just not sure which one is the right one. So when kind of clients come to me and they're like, well, this whole passion idea and how do I work through this? Then I basically take through this 5-step methodology, which I also explain in my book. Because I basically talk about this positive passion energy that's within you. And there are 5 like core elements that then help you bring it out and help you make it resurface regardless of whatever you are doing. So in that way, rather than letting you or making you have to choose passion and tie it to one activity, you can actually unlock it and bring it in whatever you do. So, I mean, I've had the funniest stories from some of my clients that they've realized that I was, you know, hanging out laundry or doing dishes. But because I found this like sense of purpose and achievement there, and I just felt like I was being completely natural and me, I felt passionate. So it's like the passion energy starts to resurface in so many different situations then once you kind of unlock it in this new, more all-encompassing way. And the 5 steps that I basically take my clients through. So the first is all about understanding your authentic self. Because the more we connect with our authentic self, our real self, that's when you start to really connect with that positive passion energy as well. Because in today's society, we are so kind of stuck in what we should be and what we think we should be. And there's like all these, you know, advertising, marketing, everything around us that's telling us, you know, do this and buy this and then you'll be more like this. And it's like, well, no, hold on a minute. Think about actually who you are deep inside. Think about your values and your beliefs. So we work a lot on values with my clients as well, because people often forget to just stop and like reflect and kind of take stock on what is it that's truly important and meaningful to you. Because once you start to realize your values, then you can start to also think, okay, so how is my life aligned with my values? How can I make my life more aligned with my values? And then you start to realize the more aligned your life is with your values, or when you think about, okay, so how is my value being met in this situation? That's again when that positive passion energy starts to really surface.
I have noticed that in Screw Finding Your Passion, you do have such a strong emphasis on authenticity.
Yes.
And on being your authentic self.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's that kind of core underlying principle when it comes to unlocking that passion. And then it's kind of once you start to connect with that true self, then the second element is really about coming back to this element of finding your purpose. And it's interesting here as well, because I really redefine it. It's not about making sure that you're working towards a massive worldly cause, like, you know, curing cancer or abolishing poverty. It's actually just about finding purpose in the everyday. You know, why is it that you get out of bed in the morning? You know, what is it that gets you out? What is it that drives you? What is it that motivates you? And thinking about what are the meaningful connections you can make to your life right now? Because people forget that you can create meaning in the tiniest little ways. You could be as simple as smiling to someone on the street, you know, helping someone out, buying a cup of coffee to the person behind you in the queue. Like, there are so many different ways that you can start creating positive impact around you. So I think once you start to realize that, and maybe think about also, what is it, how is it that you actually want to be, you know, remembered? What kind of legacy you want to leave behind? That's when you start to really connect purposefully to your existing life. And then you, as you become more aware of it, you start to create more meaningful connections throughout the different aspects of your life as well. Mm. Then the third element is all about basically being on this continuous journey of learning and growth. Now, as humans, we're naturally very dynamic. We're always basically evolving and growing and challenging ourselves. And it's important for us to be open to that and remember that always we are looking to basically master ourselves and our lives. And the more we basically continue to learn and grow and try new things and challenge ourselves, the more happy we are going to be, the more successful we are going to be, and the more passionate we're going to feel, because we're going to get this whole sense of adventure from within us, because we are growing and trying new things and challenging ourselves. And again, all of that lights up that passion flame that sits deep inside of you. And then the fourth element, so that is all about connecting with your tribe. So I talk a lot about in my book about this dream tribe, and you basically have like an inner tribe and an outer tribe. So these are really the people that inspire you, who encourage you, who basically lift you up when you're feeling down, and probably equally when they're feeling down, you also lift them up. So this is basically making sure that you spend enough time interacting with these people who really help that passion energy come out of you, because human connections are so important. And that's probably one of the main things that most, I'd say 99% of psychologists agree on, is that humans flourish with people through relationships. It's one of those core ingredients of happiness and fulfillment in life. And equally, it's also one of the core ingredients when it comes to bringing out your passion as well. So the more you connect with these people who inspire and encourage you and kind of fuel you forward, the more passionate, again, you'll feel. And then last but not least, yeah, go on, sorry.
I was going to ask, what exactly is the difference between the inner and outer tribe?
Yes, great question. So inner tribe really tends to be the people that are deep inside your life, so really connected to you. So personal connections, usually really close friends, probably your partner, family members, maybe some colleagues, if they are the type of colleagues that really inspire you and energize you and are kind of on the same wavelength. And then the outer tribe is more people that aren't necessarily personal connections, but it's still people that basically lift you up, you know, people that you follow that inspire you. So for example, in my outer tribe, I have, you know, things like Sean Aker. So the guy I mentioned in terms of the book that got me into positive psychology, you know, Oprah, Arianna Huffington, Marie Forleo, all these great people that basically have given me this sense of energy and passion. And whenever I, you know, read their blogs or follow them through social media or have any like email interaction with them, that's when I start to feel like this fire and flame again, because there's something about them and me and the connection that we have and the way they inspire me in how they approach things that really gets me all fired up. So that's kind of the outer tribe, which is more like the inspirational tribe that you kind of tend to follow. And the inner tribe is like those connections that you have in your life.
Okay. And from what I was reading, you were kind of talking about how you almost want these tribes to be more like-minded people as well, that'll help with your passion, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Because often it's when the people are like-minded and kind of aligned with some elements of your life, maybe it's your values or your beliefs, or maybe it's the profession you're in, somehow they have this like-minded mentality in terms of how they, you know, approach things or why they basically, you know, are really good friends with you. Is it because you together have similar goals or similar kind of motivational drivers? So yeah, it's definitely strongly with this like-mindedness. And it might be that some people you in your tribe you connect with specifically when you feel like you need like a creative burst, and other people you connect with when you feel like you kind of need a little bit of hand-holding. So it's also the different people in your tribe as well have kind of different characteristics, and you kind of know when to connect with who, and then that's how you basically balance out your inner tribe as well in terms of what kind of passion energy the different people are fueling in different ways.
So it sounds like, Susanna, you're saying that different people are going to fill different roles.
Yes. In life. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess one important thing to mention as well is because sometimes people have challenged me a little bit and said, well, what's the point of just hanging out with like-minded people? Because then you're going to have like a narrow-minded view of the world. But the idea of having like-minded people, it's not that you're all the same person and that you all believe the same things, but you all believe in each other as who you are. And that's what I mean with like-minded, that you are allowing yourself and each other to be authentic, and you're encouraging each other to be authentic, even if there might be elements which you wouldn't do the same way or wouldn't necessarily agree with. But because you believe in each other, and maybe you have like some connecting value, like, I don't know, for example, ambition, maybe with entrepreneurs or things like that, then you know that you can allow each other to be yourself, and also encourage that and make sure that it is coming forth. And it's that encouragement really that, again, lights up that passion flame.
And really kind of pushes one another as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. It's like a complete kind of support network in terms of nudging each other upwards and forwards as well. So yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a lot of push.
You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver, British Columbia. And we're speaking with happyologist Susanna Hallinen right now, and we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Do you like friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends on Commercial Drive, like 10% off at Stormcrow Tavern, High Life Records, Audio Pile, Mintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Has mental illness or addiction touched your life? You might be interested in coming out to the Kaleidoscope, UBC's first and only student-created, peer-run mental health support group at the University's Vancouver campus. They offer a stigma-free place for people to share their stories with others going through similar experiences. The Kaleidoscope meets every week on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Center for Student Involvement in Brock Hall.
Learn more at the-kaleidoscope.com.
Findig, CITR's annual band competition, is in its 30th year of promoting new local bands and providing great prizes. It happens every Tuesday at Pat's Pub and Brew House at 403 East Hastings.
So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discord or magazine, buttons, merch, and more. Enjoy locally made beer, pool, and CITR DJs spinning after the bands. Shindig Night 6, happening this Tuesday, November 24th, featuring Soft Haze, Rainbow Road, and Walgren. Cover is $6 at the door, and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
Every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, where we bring you the Community Living Show. A full hour is produced by the disabled community, showcasing for BC self-advocates, with lots of interesting and fun content, including some interviews from special guests with special needs. Join hosts Michael, Kelly, and friends every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. Because you've got a friend in community living and CITR.
Cool. Just wrap up with the fifth element as well.
Oh, yeah. We got our track, thanks.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's great. The more questions, the better. So then the fifth element is really around using your strengths. And strengths is, again, a huge thing that is very researched and discussed a lot in positive psychology. And it's all about putting your natural abilities to use. Because when we talk about strengths, we talk about abilities that are kind of innate in us, something that has been with us, you know, since we were basically kids. It's not something that we've taught or has been kind of nurtured into us. It's something that we've basically naturally always been. And basically when we use our strengths, we really, again, it's something that makes us come alive. It's something that we enjoy doing. It's something we're naturally really good at. And usually we don't even notice when we're using our strengths because it happens so naturally to us. So people have to kind of pinpoint and say, wow, you're really good at this, or I always see you being, you know, doing this and doing it really effectively. And you're like, oh, really? Oh, yeah, okay. And because it just comes so naturally to you. And here as well, the important bit is to use strengths in different ways. So it's not about, again, tying it to like using this, I don't know, your strength of communication and then just communicating in one way, in one medium, and that's it. It's about thinking, how can you use that strength of communication in different spheres? So, for example, with me, like I do the coaching, I do writing, I do workshops, I do talks. So I'm using my kind of communication strength in so many different mediums. Because again, it's that variety that really helps that passion flame come out as well.
Yeah. And I mean, that's almost when you talk about specifically playing to your strengths, you were mentioning that it's something that not always people are self-aware with.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was just wondering that, like, how could people be more self-aware when it comes to something like that? I mean, like you said, sometimes it takes people to point it out for them, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I like to kind of encourage people to take like a three-step approach to strengths. And the first is like that self-reflection, because once you start to think about, okay, what is it that I'm actually naturally good at? What is it that people have often praised me for? What's kind of the theme that seems to keep coming up, you know, when it comes to, you know, from your teachers to your university professors to your friends or family or, you know, your managers or coworkers now? You know, what is it that they often praise you for? Because then once you start to think about, okay, what's the theme that keeps coming up, then you can start to kind of pinpoint it. And then you start to become more aware of it. And then as you start to like think more and more about it, that's when you start to also kind of notice it all around you and when you're actually in the moment as well. And to kind of reinforce that self-reflection, I also ask people to actually ask the people around them as well, because that can be a really nice driver in terms of sparking your self-reflection as well. So it's called basically strength spotting. So you can ask, I usually encourage people to ask around 30 people, maybe do like a free survey online, you know, Google survey. You can set up a free one online, send it to basically 30 people you know from all throughout your life, from high school teachers to professors to family, friends, partners, past managers, current managers, people you've worked with, etc. And just, you know, say, I'm doing a little self-experiment here and doing a little bit of self-reflection. So I'd love if you could fill this short survey and just tell me what my three best qualities are. And then you basically allow, obviously, people to respond anonymously. And one, as the answers start coming in, of course, you're going to get this amazing positivity boost, because all these positive comments about yourself. And then you start to also see common threads. And then you're like, oh, okay, this one keeps reoccurring. Oh, this theme keeps reoccurring. And then you start to think, oh, yeah, that's actually really true. And then you can also combine, again, that self-reflection, thinking about, well, when was the time when I felt like I was performing at my best? And then usually you can then start to think, okay, what skills was I using? What was I actually doing? What was happening on around me? And that's when you start to also, again, connect the dots in terms of what your strengths actually are. And then the third thing you can do is there's a lot of psychometric tools as well now that you can do. So basically different types of surveys that have been tested scientifically in terms of them reporting back your strengths as
like
well.
Figuring out which Seinfeld character you most relate to on Facebook, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how scientific those are, but they're definitely good fun. So that's a nice positive universe as well. But there's
Newman. That's all I know. I'm always Newman.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it's consistent. That's good. So there's a bit of science there then. Yeah, I mean, some of the tools that I've used in my clients, I definitely use the VIA Strengths a lot, which stands for Values and Action Strengths. And it's actually a free survey you can take. It takes like 10 to 15 minutes online. And for free, you get like a simple report. And then, of course, if you want, you can pay to get a more comprehensive report. Clifton Strengths Finder is used a lot more in the business world, so in the corporate environment. There's Gallup Strengths as well. So there's a few different ones kind of creeping up. I mean, my favorite tends to be the VIA strengths one, because I believe that's really touches on those innate strengths that are, yeah, and is really the strengths, the way they define strengths is all around those positive human qualities, which I like as the happyologist.
Awesome. Well, I really like the survey idea, sending it out to people, because then it's anonymous too.
Yeah.
People are always going to say what they think you want to hear.
Well, yes. I do also like the idea of having it as all positive, because I know if I sent it out to like my previous employers, it'd be a disaster.
That's not true.
Well, not
He's
completely.
He's just being too hard on himself. actually, I wanted to ask you, we are speaking right now with Susanna Hallinen. And she, did I say that right?
Close enough, I think.
Yeah. That was the best one so far.
She is the author of Screw Finding Your Passion. It's within you. Let's unlock it. And you can also find her at happyologist.co.uk. So check her out there. And I wanted to ask you, I interview psychologists all the time, and you hear about counseling psychologists, clinical psychologists, but this is the first time I've actually heard specifically of positive psychology. Is that a new field or?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So positive psychology has been kind of growing over the last 15 years. So officially it was basically founded around 2000 in the US. So it's Martin Seligman, Chris Peterson, Csikszentmihalyi, which is a really complicated name, but I've learned to pronounce it now, finally. But basically, they just realized that the past psychology has been so focused a little bit in the negative sphere. And it's like almost, they describe it as general psychology always thinks about how to get people from -5 to 0. Whereas positive psychology think about, okay, how do you get people from 0 to +5? And also positive psychology tends to look not only at individuals, but also on a bigger scale. So teams, organizations, communities, how do we make sure that everyone's as happy as possible, as fulfilled as possible, performing as well as they can? Because all of these elements are basically all the things that really make life worth living. And I guess these, you know, brave psychologists, the ones I just mentioned, they just realized, wow, we need to start balancing out what type of research is going on out there and what we're actually exploring and testing. And that's basically how positive psychology was born. And now it's like, yeah, over the last 15 years, it's just been growing and growing and growing, and it's really starting to boom. I mean, even when I now work with organizations doing workshops and trainings, they're much more receptive to it because there's so much scientific evidence behind the things I do now. And also because they've actually also realized that it is a trend now. Like people have started to realize, wow, okay, happiness is what fuels success, not the other way around. And people are really starting to realize that now. And that's basically what the whole positive psychology angle has brought forward.
So just so that I understand, regarding your qualifications, you're a certified coach, but you have a master's in psychology. So are you a registered psychologist? I don't know how it works in England.
Yeah. It's always a bit tricky with all the qualifications. Basically, because I did applied positive psychology, so I'm actually a positive psychology practitioner. And then I'm also a qualified coach. And basically, the work I do combines those two together. So I tend to use all the positive psychology, all the science behind positive psychology to basically practice when it comes to doing my coaching and my training workshops. So I don't do therapy or psychotherapy or anything like that. I really do it more in a learning setup and also the coaching setup. And of course, coaching is much more present and forward focused than, for example, past therapy or coaching is sometimes compared to cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT as well. So that's kind of the other end of CBT in a way, where CBT tends to go backwards, look at trauma, how do we overcome it, things like that. Coaching is really, okay, where are we now? Where do we want to get to? How do we get there? And really focusing on, it's a very like goal-driven basically sphere to work in.
Awesome. And I'm curious also, so it sounds like you were talking about the different types of psychology, and like clinical psychology tends to be working with people who have some kind of challenge like depression or trauma, and yes. you're working with, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're working with like the general population yes. who is okay and healthy and they yes. just want to get better.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's all about basically optimizing already all the like kind of resources that you already have within yourself and how to make sure that you can become even better, even healthier, even happier, even more fulfilled. You know, how can you make sure that, well, you know what path you're on, how to basically take that path and, you know, start going towards it, how to have the motivation, you know, to go towards it, helping people with confidence, with courage, you know, overcoming limiting beliefs, all kinds of things that just help you to become basically happier and more fulfilled overall.
Cool. And Susanna, I know, Chris, you probably want to answer another question,
ahead.
But your book has a lot of worksheets and exercises in yeah. it. And so I'm just wondering how similar it might be to one of your coaching sessions.
Yeah. Well, I think everything that's kind of in my book, I probably wouldn't do all that in one coaching session because it is quite a lot to put in. And it's almost like maybe because I tend to work with clients as well, like over time. So on like a 12-week program or something like that, or minimum 6-week program, or some people take just one-off sessions as well, if they feel like, well, I just need a bit of a confidence boost before an interview or something like that. So then I might take different exercises from the book, or even just different other positive psychology exercises that are not specifically around passion, because if it's something else that they're craving. But usually, especially the clients that work with me on a 6 or a 12-week program or more long-term, then we do kind of go through a lot of the exercises in the book in a much more deeper level. So for example, if we talk about like strengths, so we can do like a whole 90-minute session around strengths, thinking about what they are, thinking about how you're using them right now, how can you use them more effectively, how can you become more self-aware about them. And then we'd have a full like kind of 90 minutes on that. And then we'd end that session with a little bit of homework. So I always leave homework with my clients, which is basically what they come up with themselves, because that's all the coaching is, that realizing that, you know, the client has all the answers within them and my job as a coach is to get those answers up. So we like work in this strengths methodology, and then they're like, okay, well, I want to try using my strengths in this, this, and this way. And then I'm like, okay, so between now and the next session, that's what you're going to test. That's where you are going to try out. And then you're going to, you know, report back and tell me how it went, how you felt. So in that way, sure, there's a little bit like some of the exercises in the book do appear like in my coaching sessions as well, if I feel like that's the most appropriate thing for that client.
And a lot of them seem almost specific, especially in the book. There are some general ones. For example, which would be a general one? And I'm kind of curious as to how you would come up with such an exercise like that.
Yeah, well, I guess the different exercises there are basically fed from, yeah, all the research that I did, and I try to always start each of the 5 key elements, you know, the each chapter that represents one around authenticity, one around purpose, one around learning, etc. So I tend to always start with quite a little bit of a general question to kind of slowly get people to think about their authenticity, so kind of lure them in, to help them think more creatively and more openly to start with. And then as you start to do more exercises on that same, like, let's say, authenticity element, then you start to go deeper and deeper and deeper and more specific. And the way I've kind of come up with those questions, based on like the research that I did, the model that I came up with, how I felt that basically the people who talked about passion, how they got that passion energy going. And then also there's a few positive psychology exercises that I've also, you know, referenced in the book that are like kind of extra tools that I feel like that can be really useful as well. I know my favorites definitely is one of the writing exercises. I can't remember which chapter it is in now, but it's somewhere in there. And it's all about writing about your best possible self. And, you know, imagining in 1, 3, 5, 10 years time, you basically imagine, okay, what would life be like if you were your best possible self? So that's quite a general and a broad one. But because the homework is that you do it for for four times in a row, basically. You can do it either 4 days in a row or basically at the same day once a week, four mm-hmm. times. So you can spread it out or squeeze it in. And as you basically write that exercise, and because the rule is for 20 minutes, you just don't stop writing. Even if you don't know what you're writing, you just keep writing. You don't think about grammar, spelling, anything. You just write. And even if you don't know what to write, you're thinking, okay, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to say, blah, blah. But because you're forcing yourself to even write and keep writing, naturally creativity is going to flow out of you. And again, this is one of these exercises that is just so powerful, because you a little bit start it thinking, oh my God, what the heck am I doing? But as you kind of get deeper and deeper into it, you start to realize, oh, okay, this is what I want. Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And wow, I didn't even realize that. And that's why you do it basically four times in a row, because the idea is that with each time you kind of are letting more of your subconscious out, more of that, you know, inner wisdom that you have that maybe you haven't listened to out. And definitely always use pen and paper for creative exercise as well, because that's the real creativity burst. Pen and paper is always what helps activate our brain and learning centers more. Sorry, go on, Chris.
I was going to say, also along with that type of writing style, you kind of get more specific as you do it more often.
Yes.
I mean, it is also a writing exercise that I know a few other comedians have used before.
I mean,
it's something that I've done before, not really effectively for my personal like act, but
yeah,
it is something that definitely does get creative juices flowing, and does make you focus on things that you wouldn't even think would come up. It's just, you kind of let yourself go.
It's absolutely. That's why I think, like, I mean, yes, I'm a writer, so I love writing in general, but also there is so much research now on how effective writing is. Like, yeah, you can take it simply as a creative exercise just when you're trying to think about new ideas, or you can focus it like with this best possible self. Or if you're having a stressful day, you can actually just write about your frustration and then just get it out, because sometimes one of the mistakes we as well do when we get stressed or overwhelmed, we kind of hold it inside of us and we don't really let it out. But
that's quite a guy thing to do, I think.
Oh yeah. Is really
just bottle it down as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. But then the kind of risk always is that, oh, and then when someone comes and you are feeling already more annoyed or frustrated in that day, and then they do something that, you know, pisses you off a little bit, then you're like, then you kind of snap at them, or then try and get that negativity onto them. And that's why it's good to try and release it, you know, on paper where no one else gets hurt, but still get it out, so you're not basically bottling it up inside.
Yeah,
on stage.
Yeah, or on stage.
He's a stand-up comedian here in Vancouver.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So we have just a little bit of time left in the show. Right now, we are speaking with Susanna
Hallinan.
That's what I was going to say. Okay. Susanna Hallinan. And she is the author of Screw Finding Your Passion. It's Within You. Let's Unlock It. And maybe you can say the title of your book in a minute, because you might say it differently. But her website is happyologist.co.uk. How would you say Screw Finding Your Passion?
I just say Screw Finding Your Passion. It's Within You, Let's Unlock It. It's something that I'm really passionate about as well, and that's kind of where the title, you know, came about, because I really believe that, you know, living life, it's not about, you know, passion controlling your life and pursuing one thing that is your passion. It's about basically learning to find love in everything that you do, and in that way really unlocking that passion.
Well, I have a couple more questions. I don't know if we'll have time to get to all of them, so I'm not sure which I should ask you, but okay, I'm going to ask you this one, because I'm sure that there's at least one person listening or watching right now that saw the Screw Finding Your Passion and is like, I can't find my passion because I'm stuck in a job that I hate. It's minimum wage or whatever. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I can't do anything differently. What would be some of the first steps that a person like that could do?
Yeah, I think Great question. First of all, I love it. And I think the first thing is really to actually realize that even though you might be in a place that you don't feel is fulfilling, or you feel like you're not doing what you love, is actually realizing that, well, actually that passion and that whole love element is a choice and you can unlock it. So I would encourage them to really revisit those five elements and think about, okay, so maybe everything about my job isn't aligned with my authentic self, but what is? You know, what is one thing that I do in my job that's aligned with my values? Or maybe it's the company, or maybe it's that, well, because I actually have a job, you know, there are so many people that don't even have jobs. So think about, okay, I'm fortunate to have a job, because one of my values is, you know, independence. So I do feel that I am independent. I'm not relying on anyone else to pay for my bills because I am still covering my costs. So in that way, you're already living one of your values. And once you kind of shift your perspective around a little bit, you start to realize, oh, okay, there are some positive things here as well. And equally with all the other steps, you can think about, okay, so what is it about my job that I do find meaningful? Maybe I don't think everything around it is meaningful, but what are the bits of my job, the responsibilities that I do really enjoy or find purposeful? You know, how is it that what I do is helping someone else or the company or my manager, or what kind of positive impact is my role actually having? Because once we start to look for it, it's there. You know, every job is created for a reason. You know, every job is there because it is creating some kind of positive impact. And it's just you kind of sitting down and, you know, puzzling all together and kind of also like breaking it down and thinking, okay, so these are the different elements. Oh, okay, I can see why I do that because it helps that person. Oh, I can see why I do that because it drives innovation here. So it's almost kind of just breaking it down and really shifting your perspective and just finding the things to really appreciate about the work that you do. And yeah, if you can, tying in those five passion elements that I talked about, because that's when you'll start to naturally feel more passionate and positive at your work as well.
Awesome. And I'll give you a chance to ask another question if you have one. But I think that feeling of stuckness is really stifling. And so I'd like you to talk for a moment about the idea of how passion and freedom are so connected.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And that's why I love this whole like screw finding your passion moment, because like finding your passion and this one thing that really makes you feel a little bit more stuck and kind of controlled and like put into just one route and that's it. The notion that I'm teaching with how actually passion should be approached is this sense of freedom. Because once you realize that passion is a positive energy within you, you realize how free you are, how open to your whole life is to passion, how you can actually find this sense of freedom by learning to connect with that positive passion energy. You know, once you really connect with it, you start to realize how many opportunities there are around you. You start to realize how how confident you are, all these different bits around your authenticity, your strengths, your purpose. And you start to really feel like, wow, I mean, this is great. This is so freeing. You know, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. And I can basically do all these different things and still bring out my positive passion energy. So I think there is this massive connection with passion and freedom. So thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for reminding me.
I would think it's also freeing, just specifically because it's like if you're doing something that you're really passionate about, it doesn't really feel like a job anymore.
Yeah, definitely that as well, because you feel so positive and you get so like in the zone and you kind of have these moments of flow. And I love this whole concept of flow anyways. It's another positive psychology idea, and it's just basically you getting totally lost in the moment, totally lost in something that you're doing. And I do believe that whatever activity that you're doing, and when you're basically living and breathing those five passion elements, that's when you really find those amazing moments of flow and you just don't see time go by. You're just like flying and floating and just in, you know, in heaven. It's like, it's just incredible.
Oh, I love seeing your passion and watching you talk about this subject. It's fun. And I'm just wondering, we just have a few minutes left in the show, and I'm wondering if there's anything that you want to focus on for the last few minutes.
No, I wasn't expecting that. No, I mean, I think I think I've kind of shared the important points around passion. I mean, I think the one thing maybe I do want to finish off with is definitely just remembering this perspective. You know, people, I understand that it can get really hard when you feel like there is nothing to be grateful for in your life, or you feel like what you said about, you know, being stuck in a job that is just paycheck to paycheck and you're not really enjoying it. But I really encourage people to challenge that notion and challenge that perspective, because we create our own reality through what we focus on and what we think about. So we can choose to change our reality simply by thinking about things differently and simply about approaching things differently. And maybe the exercise that, if there's one exercise that I encourage people to basically start off with, it is an exercise of appreciation. And again, this is one of the most popular positive psychology tools. And it is popular for a reason, because it's one that keeps repeatedly showing how it does shift your perspective completely in life. And it's basically all about appreciation. So the idea is that every day, at the end of your working day, you finish the day by writing down three things that you are grateful for in that day. Because that way you start to really, again, shift your perspective to one of appreciation. And in the beginning, it can feel really tedious, really difficult, really hard. You're like, well, I have nothing to be grateful for. But then you start to, you basically that you have to force yourself to come up with three things every day, and different things and very specific things. Well, you know, well, I'm grateful that the commute to work was smooth and I didn't come in late. I'm grateful for the hot cup of coffee that I had in the afternoon that really kind of, you know, helped to keep me going. Or I'm grateful for that we had 5 minutes of sunshine today, you know, whatever it is. It's just really pinpointing three things that you were grateful on that day. And once you start to do that every evening, basically, before you go to bed or just at some point in the evening, then you start to shift that perspective and you naturally start to look for things that you appreciate. I mean, this is one exercise that I probably tell 90% of my clients to start off with as well. And it's amazing what they come up with, because in the end, they come back and they're like, yeah, now I'm like, look for things to be grateful for. And when I've had a great experience, I'm thinking, oh, this is definitely going in my, you know, appreciation journal. So it is something that totally shifts your perspective and you naturally start to look for great things and things to really appreciate. And the main thing to remember is to do it at least for 21 days in a row, because it takes on average about 21 days to build a habit. And that's when you start to actually change the brain structure of your brain. You're completely retraining your brain, how you think, how you see life, you know, your appreciation and your perspective. So that's definitely the exercise that I encourage everyone to test out right away.
Awesome. I love that. I'm all about rewiring the brain, because once it becomes a habit, then it's not such a struggle. And then you have more energy freed up to focus on your next thing that you're going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is spot on. Exactly that.
Cool. Chris, is there anything else you want to ask?
No, I think she's covered pretty much everything that I kind of was looking into when I was reading the book.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing that she really hit on earlier, which I was going to jump in, but you kind of covered everything, was playing with your strengths. And it is something that I always try to tell people, like, that's something that you should almost double down on your strengths, because a lot of people try to even focus on, like, oh, how could I pull a weakness out? And it's like, well, if you don't even worry about your weakness, if you focus on your strength and you double down on that, you're expanding your own strength and you're expanding your own ability through that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're spot on. Definitely.
Cool. Well, I want to appreciate you, Susanna. Thank you so much for the work that you do. And thank you for taking time out of your busy day. I know you're doing TED Talks and seeing clients and writing for Psychology Today. So you're super busy. And I want to thank Chris Gaskin for helping me with this, because I always get a little bit stressed out with Google Hangouts because it's constantly changing. So I want to appreciate both of you. Thank you so much. And is there anything else you want to add, Susanna?
No, I think it's been great chatting to you guys. So thank you so much for having me. And yeah, definitely encourage people to have a look at my book, Screw Finding Your Passion. You know, it is on Amazon, and it's all also on the all the ebook stores and Google Play if you're more of a Kindle reader or a tech reader. And definitely sign up also to my free newsletter at happyologist.co.uk, because then I can send free happiness tips and insights, so we can help create a more happier world.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Thank you, Susanna. Again, go to her website, happyologist.co.uk. And if you want to find Chris, he's at chrisgaskin.net.
Yes.
You can follow him on Twitter. It's also Chris Gaskin. That's there.
Right there on the screen.
On YouTube. If you're looking on YouTube. They might be listening on the radio.
If not, it's just at Chris Gaskin.
And you can find my website at happyshow.ca. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to send lots and lots of love to you. Be well. Namaste.
And that was my interview with Susanna Hallinen, the happyologist. And I was just here. I'm Marie Bernard, and obviously that was a recorded interview. But I just wanted to let you know I was in the, sorry, I'm sick with a cold, in the Student Union building at UBC here where CITR is located, and I was talking with a lovely young lady who was volunteering for Canadian Blood Services, and they're actually doing a stem cell and marrow network. It's called OneMatch, and they're creating this database where you can register your your blood type. You can register your blood type, and I'm sure they'll take a bunch of other information. And if you're between the ages of 17 and 35 and a healthy weight and in decent health, then you are probably eligible. And what happens is that people with serious illnesses like leukemia and some other things need bone marrow and need stem cells, but it's really difficult to find a match for these people. Like, they only have something like a 25% chance of even finding a match within their family. It's so rare. But they're building a database of people all over the world so that they can help people get connected with stem cell donors. So if that sounds like something interesting to you, you can find out more at Canadian Blood Services. It's called the One Match Program. And the number to call is 1-888-2-DONATE. 1-888, the number 2-DONATE. And that's if you're between 17 and 35 years old and you're interested in potentially becoming a stem cell donor, then you can find out more information. 1-888-2-DONATE. And I'm going to close the show with the Grateful Song by Surya Devi, because why not, right? And because we were just talking about gratitude and how practicing gratitude, 21 days, that's all it takes to start rewiring your brain. That's so awesome. So I'm going to close the show with that. And DJ Chris Horrific is not in today, but hopefully he'll be back next week. So again, lots of love. Namaste.
Namaste. This is a very special song. The original chorus, I believe, comes direct from source, of course, as does the whole song, as does everything. But through a lovely man named Andrew Luisi, spiritarian.com. The verses were written, as I understand, in about 5 minutes in the car of my dear friend, Annalisa Fatini. And then she sent it to me, and I took one look at it, and it turned into a song within about 5-10 minutes. So when things like that happen, you gotta know it's, I don't know, something magical at play. So we call it the Grateful Song. With everybody searching just like me, it's easy to see how life is filled with impossibility. Running from fate, looking for an escape is oh so easy. Look around and see the gift that is she. I am thankful for existence today, and I'm grateful for where my life is at in this moment, for all the things I have. I would like to say that I am grateful for today. I am grateful for today. Take a moment to be grateful for whatever you have.